Brothers and sisters, our sermon text this evening, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The authority to rule will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no limit to his authority and no end to his peace. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. This is the word of God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've gotten the question several times. If you don't know, my wife and I are having a baby. We know it's a boy. And this is the question that comes up. It's actually a very polite question, well meant, so that it's not just, well, give us the name. The question is, are you sharing his name yet? Maybe some of you can remember that or have heard that or have asked that. It's a great question, and maybe some of you know how difficult it is to come up with a name that two people, two parents, can agree upon. We probably have something, but we're not sure, because maybe there's another question, especially with his middle name, we're not really sure if it will fit him yet. Well, we heard four different names in the book of Isaiah that Isaiah calls the baby to be born at Christmas. And you probably couldn't find any better names that fit, even though we know that Christ's child would have so many different names by the time the Bible was said and written and done. And in Isaiah's time, it was pretty common for someone to have a counselor, someone who was by your side, someone who could give you advice, someone who could tell you what to do, someone who was usually a person of wisdom and who had been through it himself or herself. Couldn't imagine a more wonderful counselor than the Son of God, could you? Which makes this quite a fitting name. You don't need to give him advice. He's got it all. And his advice is perfect and never lacking. You don't need to make suggestions to the King who is truth. That's the kind of counselor that we have by our side that Isaiah describes as the Wonderful Counselor. And wouldn't you say that the Christ of Christmas is more wonderful than any possible God we could imagine? He needs no teachers. To those who have wandered, he says, your sins are forgiven. To those who are worn out, he says, cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. To those who are worriers, he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust also in me. This Jesus has thought it through. And not only that, this wonderful counselor has suffered it himself. He has experienced the frustrations of temptation. He knows what it's like to face life. He's not just a backseat driver telling us what to do. He's been down that path before. And he desires to be alongside you. I'm not sure if you've heard this saying, if God is your co-pilot, switch seats. Because he should be the one driving the car, flying the plane, however you want to think of it. God is the most wonderful counselor. And sometimes we don't always like what he has to say, but our wonderful counselor will tell us when we've been sinful and when we've been down when we go to his word, and when we've been wrong and when we've been selfish. And our wonderful counselor will selflessly tell us what needs to be done next. And it always sounds a little bit like confession and absolution, forgiveness, going and making things right with the person you have sinned against, and then following his counsel for your life from that point forward. Now that has an interesting shade of meaning, wonderful counselor. But another reason that we can look to him as our wonderful counselor is the next name, that he's also mighty God. He is so strong and he is so powerful. They haven't known exactly how to describe his almighty power. So you get things in the Psalms like, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. He's too big to fathom. And he is so strong and so powerful that when we're in situations we can't handle, we need this little baby boy. That's right. Even little baby Jesus was far more powerful and stronger than us at our best. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men's strength. That weak little baby in the manger is the rock and the redeemer, the mighty fortress, the shield. And looking inside that manger should calm us and teach us not to fear, not to worry, not to fret. Yeah, even that little baby who couldn't hold up his little head, who had to be held, who if he were struck by a rock would be crushed, that was our Almighty God. And in the arms of his mother, this was the baby who had a bright future of strength, a human being who would use his divine power to still the storm, to heal the sick, who would face off against the devil in the dusk of the desert, who would go and teach the Pharisees what for, not with his muscles, but as mighty God with the strength and authority of his word. He would cry out in pain, and as a very strong Savior, a strong, mighty God, he would take the pokes and prods and worse of the cross that we deserved. He would live to tell the facts and hold us up in our hour of trial. I don't bench press as much as I used to, and maybe some of us are in physical therapy strengthening muscles. Maybe some of us have gotten rather flabby. I would probably mock myself if my 20-year-old self could see me today. But that's all right, because when I'm weak, he is strong. He proves it in his next name, Everlasting Father. Now, it seems strange to call the Son of God Everlasting Father. That's a rather unusual name for Jesus. But if we think about the everlasting part, that he's always with us. And how many fathers aren't so everlasting and aren't always with their children? Jesus, as a man, would be the father figure that each and every one of us would need, just as he is the brother and friend that we need. Once upon a time, there was a little boy playing in a sandbox, and his little toy truck was unable to move a big boulder that he wanted out of the way. So he used his hands, and he heaved, and he hoed, and he tried to rip up that boulder with all of his strength, and he tried, and he tried, and he couldn't do it till he was sweating and frustrated. All the while, his dad was watching him from the back window. And he ran to the back door in tears and came to his father, and his dad embraced him and comforted him. And he said, "Son, why didn't you use all the strength that you have?" And the little boy said, "I did, Dad. Weren't you watching? I was out there lifting as hard as I could, just trying to move that boulder." And his father said, "No, son, how come you didn't use all the strength you have? How come you didn't come and ask me?" In the same way, our Savior Jesus delights when we ask him for his help. In our weakness, in our struggles, in the times we know we have failed, when we can't move the world, when we can't change people, Jesus wants us to look to him and ask him as our wonderful father figure, our brother and our friend, who's always alongside us, who's always watching us and guiding us. Mighty God, please help. Help me use all my strength, because I know you are all the strength that I have. The last name here is almost some alliteration. You get a repetition of the P sound, the Prince of Peace. It's a beautiful title. I think it's a little prettier in English than it is in German, Friede Fürst, or in Hebrew, Sar Shalom. But in each of them, they kind of catch a repeated sound. A beautiful title. It means not that Jesus is only a ruler in peacetime, but it means that Jesus has overcome the world. And where there is Jesus, and where there is Christ, where there is the Son of God, with him he would bring peace. Now, sometimes it's the peace of Christ and his forgiveness that divides families, that brings the sword, that makes people want to argue and fight, sadly. And yet, as our King, as our Prince of Peace, the one who comes and rules, he brings something that doesn't have to do with the end of atomic weapons. It doesn't have to do with the end of family strife in this life. It has to do with the conscience and the confidence that our wrongs don't make us enemies with God. He's the Prince of Peace who knew right after the first sin that there shouldn't be enmity between God and man, but the enmity, the enemies should be the woman and the snake, man and serpent, the devil versus God's very own. That should be where the strife is. And then as our Prince of Peace, he holds out the reality that heaven is waiting for each and every one of those who trust in him. For those who have poured their sins out, who've taken all our own violence, all of our strife, all of our personal warfare, and laid it at his feet, finding the peace that says, your sins are forgiven, you're part of my kingdom, and I want you to look to me every time that you struggle and every time that you face a rocky life. There was once a group of people that asked an artist for a show, an exhibit, I should say, if he would paint a picture of peace. And what he came up with were these rocking waves, a dark sea with clouds above, and lightning, and wind, and rain falling. But in the middle of the painting, there was a rock. And in the cleft of the rock were two little birds. And they asked that artist, why in the world did you draw all of this tempest and the waves and the wind? That doesn't look like peace to us. And the artist said, look closer. The peace that I painted was in the middle. Because you might not really know peace unless you've been through all of the struggle and all of the hardship and all of the frustration of life. Those are his names. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and there's one that he would be given when he was born, the name Jesus. It means he saves, or Savior. Now, there's a lot of Saviors out there. There are people who drive in the ambulance, and people who work at the hospital, and people who wear blue and keep the peace. There's different kinds of Saviors in the world. People who sweep in and rescue, but they can only save for maybe 70 or 80 years if we have the strength. Our Jesus saves now, and he's been saving us ever since we were brought into his family, and he saves forever. And there's a lot of people who need to hear that message. So let me turn the tables and ask you the same question. Are you sharing his name yet? Amen.